Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 153 on January 27th, 2017. Changing the world one ass at a time. So, let me give you an update. You can hear a little bit of it in my voice. I've been sick for a little bit, but since my last podcast, during which I related to you my Christmas adventure of my daughter having emergency gallbladder surgery, some stuff has been happening. My sister, unfortunately, passed away on January 14th. Very, very sad. Not completely unexpected. She was older than me, and she had been overweight her whole life and had heart issues, but nonetheless, it came very suddenly, so it was definitely a shock to the whole family. I took off and went to Denver shortly after that and spent some days there meeting with family, and actually that was the best part of going there, was spending time with her extended family. She had six kids, and getting to know them a whole lot better. So it turns out that my sister was quite a member of her church, and she was phenomenal in terms of how much she gave to how many people. It explained for me a little bit more why sometimes it seemed quite difficult to get her on the phone to have a conversation with her, because she was doing so much for so many, it just blew my mind. They loved her, and she loved them. She was quite the church member, and she gave, as I said, so much to so many. So, of course, I've got some sadness going on, and right before I came home, right before I flew back home with my older sister who traveled with me, she lives just an hour away from me, I got sick, and I came down with a bad cold, and it went into my lungs, and I finally went to the doctor and got an inhaler and some antibiotics, and I'm fighting it. But my voice is a little extra deep and perhaps extra sexy, even though I've got nothing to back it up. I'm getting well, and I am back to work, but it's a struggle. So here's the other part of the reason why it's a struggle is because, holy shit, the reality of Obama leaving office and the little hands baby man taking over has hit, and shit's happening. So I've got more sadness about that, different kind of sadness, clearly. This kind of sadness kind of makes me not want to have sex. It makes me want to isolate, makes me want to watch TV and drink, kind of like when the election happened. But you know, as much as it makes me want to do that, that doesn't help you guys at all. You're out there waiting for answers to your questions. You're out there wanting reassurance that your desires are normal, that your desires are fine, and that you are totally awesome people who just want to explore your bodies sexually with your partner or without. So it doesn't help you, and it doesn't help me, clearly, because isolating, watching TV, and drinking really is an escapist behavior. I totally get that. Sometimes it's necessary to tune out, but for long periods of time, it does not help much of anything. And so I persist. Part of what's happening with me is I got a little depression because my sister passed away. Part of it is a feeling of helplessness because of everything that's happening in our country right now. And part of it's anger. So I'm going to hang on to that anger part because that fuels me. What I do see happening around me is that activism does seem to be at an all-time high, however. People are being moved into action, whether it's calling and expressing their opinion to their elected officials, or writing letters, or signing petitions, or protesting. In fact, my daughter works at a shop on Main Street, and she was working when the Women's March happened, because the town near where I live, they had their little mini march on the same day that the march happened in D.C. She sent a few texts, and I think the best chant that she told me about were, "Hands too small, can't build the wall," which at least made me laugh. I really liked that one. And last night, she surprised me. We were out doing errands, doing a little shopping, and she said, "You know, you probably never thought you'd hear me say this, but I want to protest." So I'm thrilled. This is my 22-year-old daughter, and I raised her that way. We were out there protesting Prop 8 when she was younger. We were out there doing a bake sale to try and get Obama elected the first time. And I like that she's involved. I like that she's passionate. And I love that she's ready to protest, so I'm going to see what I can find. We did not make the Women's March. She was working and I was sick. But undoubtedly, there will be many, many opportunities to protest. For those of you who are also out there wondering what you can do, I don't have a magic formula, but what I do know is this. Calls to your elected officials count for a lot more than just signing things online or writing letters even. Calls make a big difference. So in my mind, here's what I was thinking. What would it be like if every single day, every one of us picked up our phone and called the offices of our elected officials and gave them our opinions on the current subjects happening in our country? What would that be like? I would imagine that to a certain extent, government would grind to a halt because so many people would be calling, they couldn't get any work done. Calls make a difference, people, and it's not that difficult. I can pick up the phone and call every elected official that I have in 15 minutes. I can even do it in less than that, in 10. You get the phone list right in front of you, and all you have to say is how you feel about what's happening. I totally disagree with the nomination for so-and-so. I totally disagree with the defunding of Planned Parenthood. You know, things like this. They make little hash marks, but it makes a difference because if they have to pick up that phone all day and answer it, then they're paying attention. They have to hire people to pick up the phone and answer it, or else they can't get any other work done. So I really, really encourage you to make those calls. And I don't know, it would also be kind of interesting if every single one of us picked up the phone and called the White House every day and told them what we thought. But anyway, pushing all of this politics aside, and part of the reason I really, really want to push it aside is because it really doesn't make me feel sexy and like having sex and erotic and that kind of stuff. And so I want to get back to that. I do encourage all of you who are affected by all the politics happening recently, take some breaks. Isolate yourself from the politics. Put a wall up around yourself instead of a wall between the United States and Mexico. And protect yourself from becoming too consumed with it. It's pretty easy to do click, 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 and go from one thing to another and feel worse and worse and more angry and more helpless. So take time out and replenish. Go out and spend time in nature. Take a walk. Walk your dog. Talk to your friends. Put your phones down. Get off social media. Take hot baths. Eat your favorite thing, you know? Take good care of yourself, because it's a long fight we have ahead of us here, and we need each and every one of you. Stay sane, take deep breaths, and we will all get through this. And above all, love each other, hug each other, tell each other you love each other, because you never know when you're going to lose someone. And you never know when your world is suddenly going to do a 180 and rights you thought you had are suddenly eroded or simply just blasted away. So there you have it. All right, let's move right along, get off these depressing subjects, and get back to erotic, sexy, fun stuff and your questions. Oh, and before I go to the questions, one of the things I wanted to let you know is that everybody and anybody who has bought equipment from enticeme.com is invited to go and leave a review at enticeme.com for those items. Tiffany and I would absolutely love it if you did that, because we want to know how you liked it. We absolutely want to know if you don't. And we would love it if you could go and leave a review and let us know specifics about what you liked, what you didn't, your favorite parts, and that kind of thing. And you can find that right where you bought the item. So, for example, if you bought a spare parts harness, you go to that spare parts harness on enticeme.com, and you can leave a review there. So we invite you to do that anytime you like. Alrighty, and still not ready to go to the letters, because I forgot that I have to thank my new patrons. I have an anonymous patron who has pledged $20 a month. Thank you so much for your generous donation. I have a patron who calls himself Hippie on a Buffalo, who has pledged $1 a month. Thank you so much for your generous donation, sir. By the way, for my patrons, not only do you get my podcast a day early, but actually you get better access to me, because there's a community tab where you can post any questions that you have and they get attended to post haste, because you are my patrons and you are my special people. Okay, So let's get to the letters here. This first letter was from someone who wrote in on podcast number 151, and he had asked if I had recommendations for some good toys for a woman to use vaginally while pegging, and I basically recommended the Fuse Tango with the WeVibe Tango. And he writes back, I recently asked if there was something that could be used for vaginal stimulation while pegging, and you recommended the Fuse Tango, which is sort of a double-ended dildo. However, we use the Vixskin Buck in a strap-on harness. We are looking for something we can use with this for vaginal stimulation, like some sort of vibrating plug or short dildo that can be used at the same time with our current dildo. Thanks again. Okay, so I get it now. You have the Vixskin Buck and you want something vaginally in addition. Okay, so your first message that you sent mentioned vaginal and or clitoral stimulation. Your follow-up message only mentions vaginal. So I'm thinking that that's going to be your priority. And let's see, one of the first things that comes to mind is, I don't know what kind of harness that you have, but if you have a harness that's got the two straps that come down from the front panel and then back up to the waistband, you know, back behind the butt, if it's a two-strap model, then one of the things that you might be able to use with that harness, depending on which harness it is the Aslan double up cuff. And what that is it's this cool little piece of leather, relatively inexpensive, that's designed to put on those two straps. And what it does is it holds in a dildo or a butt plug, and you can slide it on the two straps so that it either goes in your anus or in your vagina. So you will have to cheat up the main dildo that you're doing the pegging with a little bit higher, so it might rest a little bit closer to her pubic bone, but you will be able to use that double-up cuff for any flare-based dildo that you have. And if you have one that's got a vibe in it, so much the better. That's the first thing that occurs to me. I mean, you could put a butt plug in there, I suppose, but if she's into girth and wants something a little bigger to sort of feel filled up, then I would recommend one of your dildos that you have. If you don't have any extra, well, then you're going to need to get a different one. The other option that I would suggest is the new WeVibe Sync. This is the new model of the WeVibe 4, and what it is a U-shaped toy that fits in the vagina and pushes on the G-spot, and it also gives clitoral stimulation, so it's a U thing. And it has the advantage of being controlled by a remote, so you don't have to reach and, you know, put your fingers in between the harness and the toy and everything in a moment of passion and try and adjust things. It has lots of different vibrational patterns, and it also has an app that you can use it to control it at distance. And what I mean by that is when you're not pegging, she can have it in and he can have the remote and he can be wherever at work and turn it on and she's home or the other way around. So it has lots of fun things to play with. The Sync is the new model of the WeVibe 4, and the reason that it's improved is because it has two adjustment points on it. So this U-shape has two arms, if you will, and it has an adjustment point on each of those arms that you can bend so that it fits your body really specifically. Now, we have two of these types of toys. The other is the Lilo Tiani. The Tiani does not have an app, however, it actually has outsold the WeVibe 4 10-to-1 with enticeme.com. So, and this is in groups of women for sexy soirees where we hand those two toys to the women, pass them around, let them play with the vibes and see what they think. And the vast majority of them go for the Lilo Tiani. The Tiani stays put better, which is probably more of an issue if you're going to be out and about with clandestine stimulation. It will stay in. It doesn't pop out. And it does seem to stay in place better when you have intercourse as well. So there's two different types of toys. If you go to enticeme.com, I'll put the links for both of those in the Linkorama so you can check them out and compare them. As I mentioned, the Tiani doesn't have the app, but it does have the remote. In fact, the remote has this sense motion thing where you can put it in a mode where he has the remote in his hand. If he shakes it a little bit, then the vibe on the toy vibrates. It's pretty cool. So the sink I did not get to take a look at because I missed the anime show, sadly. But from what I've read in reviews, it says that they've improved it also for the motor. Up until now, the Tiani had the strongest motor. Now, supposedly, the WeVibe Sync has improved the power of that motor as well, especially the one for the clitoral vibration. The one inside is still reported to be somewhat substandard and a little weak and buzzy, but the outside one is rumbly. And when I hear the word rumbly, I'm always excited, me being a magic wand girl. So there you have it. Those are two U-shaped toys that might suffice for what you're looking for. If you have any kind of a vibrating butt plug, too, and you use that Aslan double up cuff, that's an option as well to put that in there. One more suggestion I have for a dildo that you can use with the Aslan double up cuff is the Fun Factory Bounce. It doesn't vibrate per se, but what it does have are these balls inside of it that kind of roll back and forth and cause vibration. The more you move, the more the balls hit together and kind of vibrate. So it's kind of cool. They don't exactly vibrate, but it definitely provides some stimulation. So that's an option as well. And I think that's pretty much all I can think of. I'll put all those links on the Linkorama for you, and there you have it. Thanks for the question. Okay, this is an email I got, and the subject line said, Sex Toy Quagmire. Hello, Ruby, longtime listener. Yes, from the start, 4 years ago. Sorry I never spoke up earlier. Shy, closet kink, excuses, yes, all of the above. Plus, I try to listen well to the wealth of information you put out. Thank you for all the time and energy you share with the hidden men with this pleasure kink. So I have a sex toy quagmire. I was given an extra $100 for Christmas to be spent on myself. With money always tight, I try to make smart choices. I've narrowed it down to 3 choices. Number 1, blew it, a man masturbator. Pro, it will get used, better than my own hand. Con, pricey, just a jerk off. Number 2, strap-on harness, looking at the spare parts. Pro, investment in future sex life. Have quality equipment, fulfill fantasies. Con, wife not 100% on board, pricey if not put to use. Number 3, a quality dildo for me. Still looking, narrowing it down, but not sure which one yet. Pro, can be used for more than just me. Know the right size. Use it myself or with help. Investment into quality sex toys. Con, don't use all the time. May not be the right size or style. Okay, these are just a few pros and cons, so Ruby, what you think? Thank you again for all the info and pegging positive sex, positive love. Steve, okay, so let me see here. We got a few things going on. Your wife is not 100% on board, so the very first thing that I would recommend is that she listen to podcast number 112. You don't mention if she has or not. You don't mention what stage you two are at in terms of her not being 100% on board. But at some point in time that feels good to you, podcast 112 is what I would recommend. And as always, you need to listen to it first to make sure that it's appropriate for her. That should help her get a little bit on board if she is ever going to be on board. So that's the first one. But putting that aside about her, whether she's on board or not, you are asking about which choice. You know, Blewett is an amazing toy, and it's a toy that's not just a jerk-off toy. It's a toy that is actually designed to help train you. It trains you to last longer, and you can dial the intensity, so it's actually more than just a jerk-off toy. Certainly a whole hell of a lot better than a fleshlight. However, it is only for you, so if that's something that your wife would benefit from in terms of you learning how to last longer in bed, if that's something that comes up between the two of you or something she has voiced that she wanted, then I would add another pro to the Blewett. And yes, it will get used, but at the same time, if you're looking for something to kind of spice up the two of you sex life as opposed to just your sex life, then let's move on to number 2. The spare parts harnesses are absolutely the best. Interestingly enough, though, if somebody's only got so much to spend, rather than investing in a harness, I actually recommend investing in a dildo. Here's why I recommend investing in the dildo. It's because if you get a good dildo and the right one, you can use that for solo play. If you get one with a suction cup bottom, you can use that in the shower. You can use it for self-play. And you can use it on her. And hopefully, eventually, you can put it in a harness and she can fuck you with it. So it's got lots of possibilities there. And meanwhile, even if you graduate to using this and having her fuck you, if you're not able to afford the harness yet, all you have to do is take a couple of scarves and do the do-it-yourself harness until you do save it up enough money to get the harness that you like and you have the quality equipment. So if you have a really good quality harness, it does you no good unless you've got a really nice dildo, right? But if you've got a really nice dildo, you can do the do-it-yourself harness with the scarves until you can afford the harness. So I definitely recommend the dildo, actually, out of the three. That would be my suggestion. That would be my choice. Also, because your wife is in the in-between stages, she can use it on you with her hand. And you know, that's what I always recommend when couples start pegging, is not to just put that in the strap on and put it on her and go for it, but to explore anal play first. And that includes teasing the outside of the anus and putting fingers in and then putting small toys in and then having her hold the dildo and fuck you with it so that she's learning the angle, the depth, the speed, everything that you like, right? So this is an important part of the whole pegging formula. And if you guys get there, it'll be great if she can sort of ease into it using this toy on you. And it perhaps might be a little less threatening if one of her concerns is that strapping it on is a little too not feminine or kind of freaks her out or that kind of thing. Sometimes it is a nice in-between stage for women who are not quite ready to jump in with both feet and go for it. And it is a hell of a lot easier to hold it by hand, too. So there you have it. I would absolutely recommend a really good quality dildo. So how do you know what size? How do you know what style? If you are a guy who really needs a lot of lube and is very sensitive to things going in and out of your ass, then you're going to want a smooth silicone dildo and not a matte surface one. What I would recommend are the Real Nude line of dual density dildos because they have excellent suction cups on the bottom. And those can be awesome for, like I say, shower play or, I mean, you can even sometimes stick them to painted doors and things like that if that's something you want to try. So those are great ones, and they are also softer because of the dual density. You've got the outer layer that's a little softer and the inner layer that's more rigid for functionality. So those are things to consider. We talked about the surface and whether it's smooth or not. If you do self-play, then hopefully you have a handle on how sensitive your prostate is. Are you somebody who likes it just to kind of go by your prostate and it's really sensitive and it's really intense for you? Well, then you don't need a curved dildo and you don't really need a firm one. And when it comes to size, really, you know, you can kind of measure that with your fingers. If you're doing play or you have convinced your wife to do play and she's putting fingers in, well, if she can get two fingers in, then when she's done playing, take those fingers and measure them. That's how you know how big of a dildo to use. It's not rocket science, but it's something that people kind of forget. It's like, well, I don't know how big of a dildo to use. Well, how many fingers can you get in there? And if she's putting almost three fingers in there, well, then you can use a bigger toy. That would be your measure. If she's not doing it, then if you can reach and you can put those fingers in there, same idea. Okay? So that's how you know how big of a dildo to get. I wouldn't suggest a really long one, but I would suggest one probably about at least 6.5 inches long so that you have a variety of different positions you can use when she is ready to put it in the harness and use it, which will hopefully happen for you. So there you have it. I'm going to go for the dildo. And I've taken a long time to answer this, so you've already gotten something. Write back and tell us what you got, and let us know how you like it. Thanks for writing in. Here's another email. Strap-on harness and dildo compatibility. I wrote to you a while ago, and you read my email. It's the very last email you read during the podcast number 114 from November 2014, so it's been a while. You'll be happy to know I'm still with my girlfriend and we still enjoy our sex life, and we are finally ready to go back to using a strap-on, and that is why I'm writing again. We've picked out the awesome-looking and pricey Prince Minx Harness, made and sold by Aslan Leather. We also like their Slim Jim dildo. However, I'm not sure that the two products are compatible. The harness says it comes with a 2-inch O-ring, and the only dimensions listed for the dildo are 6.5 by 1.5. Of course, I tried contacting the company to ask them directly, but have not had any responses. So I'm hoping you can offer some help before we make this expensive and exciting purchase. So all you need to make sure that any dildo that you buy, unless it's enormously huge, is going to fit with that Aslan Prince harness. Good choice, by the way. The Prince Minx is so gorgeous. All you need is a set of O-rings. And I'll put a link to those. Tantus makes a wonderful set of O-rings that will basically help you adapt that harness to any dildo that you want to put in it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a perfect fit, but it's nice when it is. And here's what I mean by that. If you've got an 1.5-inch toy and that O-ring is 2 inches, as long as the base of it is wide enough for it not to fall out, it'll be fine. However, if you've got a really nice fitting, perfectly fitting O-ring that you can snap in there, it holds it more securely, and while you're fucking, it moves less. It makes the whole setup more stable. So there you have it. I will put the link to those O-rings in the Linkorama, and that should be the deal. Have fun with your purchases and let us know how it goes. And you know, you qualify for the rediscovery playing of the song because you guys did it a long time ago and now you're going to try it again. And I'm excited for you that you're going to try it again. Good for you. So let us know how it goes, please. Okay, this question comes from the forum and the subject is vibrating bullet to be used with a Vaculock harness. First time poster, newbie Peggy. I've wanted to try pegging for a long time, but my wife had not been keen on the idea. Late last year, I discovered Ruby's website and podcast number 112, which was a total revelation. Thanks to Ruby for the great advice. It changed the way that I approach sex in a lot of important ways. Not simply because it convinced my wife to try pegging. More importantly, it made me understand that sex is an activity that requires and deserves time and attention. In trying to get into pegging and ignorant of the options, I bought a Doc Johnson Vaculock strap-on a while ago. We had our first pegging session a couple of weeks ago. It went well, and the promise of another session was made. Mrs. Pegasus even requested a vibrating appendage for the harness that she might enjoy. I've looked for one, but haven't been successful in my internet searches for a vibrating bullet to put onto the harness, not the dildo, to pleasure her clitoris. If anyone has any ideas for something that can be used with the Vaculock harnesses, I'd really like to know. The obvious alternative is getting a better strap-on, but I kind of want to get the most out of the one that we already have. Thanks in advance, Pegasus. Which explains the Mrs. Pegasus, of course. So, you got the Vaculock harness. That's kind of a shame, but, you know, people do sometimes, and I understand your wish to try and get as much use out of it as you can. Now, to try and find something that will vibrate on her clit while you're using that harness, really the only thing that I can think of is those two toys that I just spoke about earlier in the podcast, the Lalo Tiani and also the WeVibe Sync. Those two U-shaped toys will sit under the harness and stimulate both her clit and her G-spot. So other than that, just having a bullet is really not going to do it because as far as I know, the Vaculock harnesses really don't have a spot to put a bullet vibe. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at all the different types of Vaculock harnesses because they're really not good quality and I don't really need to know that much about them. However, I don't know of one that has a pocket for a bullet vibe, like some of the other harnesses do, say from sport sheets or spare parts or something like that, the fabric harnesses. So that would leave your option to use one of those U-shaped toys would be the best thing I can think of, because that is actually a toy that's going to serve you well in other situations, as opposed to just the pegging, but it can be used during pegging as well. So give the one of those a try, check them out, and the links are in the Linkorama, and let us know how it goes. Thanks for writing in. This is an email, and the subject was Fuse Tango, podcast number 151. Hey, Ruby, another great podcast as always. I appreciate your heads up on the Fuse Tango stopping production of the shiny version because that super slick texture seems to be the only one that is comfortable for me. In your opinion, is the head of the Tango or the curve substantial? I can handle width, but the dildos with large heads or aggressive curves are hard for me to enjoy because they pull on the outstroke, and that isn't comfortable, or it pokes where it doesn't feel good. I was able to locate a store that still had the older version and ordered it, so I'll let you know. My girlfriend and I use the Tantus Leisure primarily, but I would like to find a similar vibrating dildo that is straighter and a little wider, 1.5 inch, if you have any ideas. I thought the Fuse Tango would be more enjoyable for my girlfriend because she says her pubic bone feels a little bruised sometimes after a while, and if she feels better, longer, she might want to peg me longer. Just a side note, we use the spare parts Jacques harness, which she really likes. Looking forward to another podcast like number 115, hopefully in the future, but the last few interview podcasts have been excellent. Take care and thanks, Sam. Okay, so one of the first things I want to do is to take note that in your message here that you wrote me, you said your first time pegging was a couple of weeks ago. So, sir, I am going to play the music for you right here and now before I answer any questions that you sent me. It's pegging celebration time. In case anybody else is out there really wanting a slick version of the Fuse Tango, enticeme.com does have one left. One. I just talked with Tiffany tonight. So that's there in case anybody really prefers the smooth silicone version of the Tango. And let's see. In your opinion, is the head of the Tango or the curve substantial? The head is not huge. It does have a head on it, but the head isn't particularly huge. The curve is not substantial to the point where it should really be a problem for you. The doubles do have that angle that you play with when, you know, part of it's in her and part of it's in you. That does tend to push a little bit. In other words, because that toy is partly in her, the silicone on the bend, if you will, that joins those two extensions is going to be more flexible or less flexible. Now, the best thing about the Tango is it's just right. It's not floppy and it's not rigid. It might cause a little bit of pressure. One of the things I might recommend for your girlfriend are the other style of singles that Fuse puts out, because those are all slick, okay? And those have that lovely base that nestles in between the vaginal lips and a spot for the vibe. The way that those dildos are made are such that it's designed to fit in the right place so that it does not go up too high and cause bruising of the pubic bone. It has to fit pretty much in between the vaginal lips, and you want to kind of pull that spare parts harness down so that it is fitting in the right place. There's a wide variety of sizes for those singles, so I'll put links to those and you can take a look. I believe the Wild is the one that might fit you a little bit better. In my opinion, when you take either those Fuse singles or the Fuse Tango, the double, and put the WeVibe Tango Bullet Vibe in it, you can't get any better clitoral stimulation than that. So if that's something that she really enjoys, it should be awesome for her. And again, it'll fit better so that, like you said, if it feels better for longer, maybe she'll fuck you longer. I like your thoughts about that, too. That's awesome. Okay, that is the best advice I have for you, sir. Thank you very much for writing in. Let us know what you get and how it goes. Okay, this is a message I got sent on Twitter. I am fairly new to pegging. My girlfriend wanted to do it, and I let her. She enjoys it a lot. However, she has a hard time feeling the toy on her pelvis, so she often slips out. She's a little chunky, so it's soft down there, and the harness is also soft. Do you think a harder harness will help, or if the issue is with the size of the toy? It is a beginner size. Okay, so congratulations on exploring the world of pegging. Congratulations that you let her do it, and it's awesome that she wanted to. It is quite normal for women learning how to peg to have the toy slip out every once in a while. And if you have a beginner size, I suspect what you may have gotten is the Tantus beginner kit. And I tell everybody listening out there all the time, that beginner kit is too small. Those dildos are too short. So anybody who feels that they have to buy a kit and they only have so much money and they're really set on that, please don't buy the beginner kit. Buy the intermediate kit because the dildos are much better sized. It is a fact that there's no way we are really going to be able to feel that dildo going in and out of your ass, gentlemen. So one of the things that will help us not slip out is to have a toy that's a little bit longer. I recommend one at least 6 inches long for beginners, and that measurement actually might be a little longer if the woman is a little chunky or the man is a little chunky. So if she's got some beautiful belly on her and he's got a big butt, then you're going to want a longer toy because you're going to kind of have to get through that, so to speak, or that's going to interfere with your depth of penetration, just like it does with sex. So it is very frustrating when the toy falls out, and I think every woman who has ever pegged, her partner at one point in time has said, honey, it's out, because you just keep moving, you know, you can't feel it, you don't know that it's out. So don't assume that we should know when it's out, because that's not necessarily the case. It's really normal to not know when it's out. Now, you get better at knowing how far you can pull back, but if you're a beginner, it's kind of really hard to tell. I would suggest a longer dildo, and I'm not sure what kind of harness you got, but I would suggest one that fits better in terms of cinches down better on her so that it feels more stable, that so that she feels like she has a little bit more control. But definitely the longer dildo sounds like a good idea. The one that comes to mind is the Sport Long. It's like 7.5 inches. Because what that does is not only stops her from falling out when she starts aggressively thrusting, but it will allow her a wider variety of positions. Because you know how it is during regular sex where, depending on the position, it's easier or harder to fall out while you're fucking her. Well, same thing she's going through with you. So it enables her to have a wider choice of positions to fuck you in without being frustrated because the toy falls out. So there you go, Sport Long. I will put the link for that in the Linkorama. Thank you so much for writing in and have fun. Here's an email. Hey Ruby, I shared with my girlfriend about your podcasts. She already knows and likes pegging. I introduced it to her and she's taken it over. She loves pegging and can't get enough of it. She looked up the podcast and asked me if I could recommend a couple for her introduction to your shows. Any advice on episodes she might start with? I admit, I didn't expect that question and didn't know what to say. I'm kind of new myself. I know one thing that we could use ideas on is quality equipment and maybe more pleasure for her. Thanks for your help and advice. Ross. Well, I think a really nice overview of equipment would be the podcast I devoted solely to that, which is podcast number 102. That one has so much information about all the different choices that you need to make when you choose equipment, including pleasure for her, including harnesses, quality equipment, all of that stuff. So that might be a good place to start. I don't necessarily have an introductory podcast. She's already into pegging, so I'm thinking 112 might be kind of fun to listen to. But, you know, it's not going to make a huge difference other than just sort of introducing her to how I think about things and how I think about pegging and the different ways that people look at it and the misconceptions and things like that. So 112 might be good as well. But that's an interesting idea, an introductory podcast for women who know nothing about pegging. I think podcast number 112 is about as good of an introductory podcast as I offer at this point. Thank you very much for writing in with the question, and hopefully she will enjoy those two podcasts. So happy pegging, you two. It sounds like you're having a great time. Thanks for writing in. Okay, another email. My wife and I are trying for another kid. Since pegging has given me the most explosive orgasms I've ever had, we figured it couldn't hurt to use pegging as a form of foreplay before vaginal sex. We tried this the other night and pegged until she was getting close to orgasm. She had a spare parts Jacques harness and a Fuse Alpha dildo, and we vibe tango, so she was getting plenty of stimulation. At that point, she pulled out, and I stripped her harness off, and we had vaginal sex until we both came at the same time. Afterwards, when my wife was cleaning up, she said that was the most semen she's ever had come out. I was wondering if there's any science behind the hypothesis that pegging and prostate play prior to vaginal intercourse increases the odds of conception. Curious to hear your thoughts. Matt. So, Matt, congratulations that you are trying for another kid. How exciting. Here's what I know about prostate stimulation and pegging and how it increases the volume of ejaculate. It definitely does. What happens is the prostate is responsible for producing prostatic fluid, and that prostatic fluid combines with the sperm and it carries it out of the body. When you stimulate the prostate quite a bit, it keeps making fluid, which is why you get the pre-cum leakage and things like that. So if you've never done any kind of prostate play and you compare after you start doing prostate play to orgasms without it, how much ejaculate there is, there's absolutely more. So more cum, is that better? I suppose so. More prostatic fluid mixing with the sperm to get it where it needs to be? Awesome. Maybe that helps. Definitely, I know that there is some science behind the fact that if she orgasms, that helps. Because what that does is during orgasm, as I understand it, there's a kind of a motion that sort of sucks everything up and in through the cervix. So you are going to pull all that ejaculate up into the lady parts all the way back in there, and hopefully a baby is made. So there is definitely science around that. In fact, that was something that was shared with me by Stephanie Berman, the inventor of the pop dildo. And it was news to me, so I was really glad that she shared that with me. She has quite a bit of information and knowledge surrounding artificial insemination. So, yes, there's science behind that one. But in terms of prostate play and anal play, and does it make it more likely you're going to have a child? I have no idea. Unfortunately, no one's done any studies on that. But good luck to you. And let us know when you get the good news. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this is an email. And the subject is HB2. Hey Ruby, this isn't something I've seen anyone talk about on your site, nor do you have to respond, but I have asked your opinion on a previous subject and felt that I gleaned a lot of insight from your response and would love your opinion on this matter. This isn't necessarily a question regarding sex or pegging, and it is also highly political and opinionated in nature. As you may know, North Carolina passed a bill called HB2 last year, which essentially demands that people use the bathroom of the sex to which they were assigned at birth. I absolutely despise this bill and think its sole purpose is shaming anyone other than cisgendered people. My boyfriend, who is into pegging and watches trans porn, agrees with the bill. He buys into the idea that it somehow protects women. My first thought upon hearing this was that I can't imagine that many cisgendered men could sustain the bullying, attacks, and ridicule they would receive after they dressed as a woman just to have the opportunity to use a women's restroom. His response was that some people are sick and will do anything for the opportunity to hurt a woman. As a woman, I know this because I have been attacked by a man in the bathroom. This man, however, wasn't dressed as a woman. Big surprise there. I've also been harassed by numerous men, none who were operating under the auspices of being a woman, and nothing has been done in North Carolina legislation in my lifetime to protect me against those men. I assured him that as a woman this idea is absolute bullshit, and that I have never feared for my safety in a bathroom because of anybody who resembled a woman, that I have never encountered a man dressed as a woman in a bathroom, and that I am more afraid of men dressed as men than I am a man dressed as a woman any day. He responded to these thoughts by saying that opposing the bill would increase the likelihood and occurrence of men dressing as women in order to be able to attack or watch women in the bathroom, and I haven't been able to convince him otherwise. I have an issue with his opinion on this for so many reasons. First, I'm feeling resentful towards him because he uses trans women to masturbate to in porn, but doesn't respect them enough as people to allow them to use the bathroom that they wish to. Also, if he believes that, quote, men are men and women are women, end quote, he is masturbating to men, though he has previously told me that his attraction to trans women exists simply because of the visual aspect, and he doesn't consider them to be men. I brought this idea up to him, and he immediately shut down the conversation, and I know it struck a nerve. I don't want to shame him for his sexual interests, but I can't stand the idea of him being prejudiced towards a group of people. I know it is possible for someone to hold contrasting sexual and political beliefs, but this one is almost a deal breaker for me. I don't want much to do with people who hold prejudiced beliefs. I truly believe that respect is essential when it comes to sex, and it disturbs me that he doesn't have enough respect for the people that are part of his fantasies to grant them the right to live their lives as normal people. The same politicians that supported HB2 would shame him for his sexual desires and interests, and years ago, even recently, if the wrong person in North Carolina found out about his sexual interests, there's no telling what would have happened to him. I can't stand the idea that he doesn't believe in granting people the right to use the bathroom of their choice, especially if said people have already lived their lives being bullied, attacked, and shamed just for trying to be who they are. I would love to hear your opinion on this matter and perhaps provide me with some insight that I could give my boyfriend. Thanks, Ruby. Well, I am sorry that your boyfriend seems to be acting like quite a dick where HB2 is concerned. And I really don't like using genitals as derogatory. However, this time it seems to fit a bit. I recorded a podcast that included a lot of discussion on HB2, and it is number 130. I'm going to put that link in the Linkorama for you. And so if you want to listen to that, you can hear what I have to say about the HB2 situation. It's absolutely a fucked up bill. Totally a fucked up bill. The interesting thing about the fear-driven bullshit about how this law is there to protect women in restrooms is that there is absolutely no evidence that attacks occur in restrooms where men are dressed up as women. Like you said, the only attack that you've ever had is a man dressed as a man. So the law is ridiculous, it's anti-trans, and it is sort of a weird twist that your boyfriend actually enjoys trans porn. This is incredibly disrespectful to trans people. Incredibly disrespectful law. So your boyfriend's being a fucking major dick. Jesus. So I'm going to play the music for him that I haven't been able to play for a long time. This message is for your boyfriend, because there is no evidence that shows that attacks happen in bathrooms. There is nothing anywhere. This is a huge fear campaign, and he fucking bought it, sadly. And it's really sad that he can't open his mind, open his eyes, do a little research on the internet, and discover that he's been conned by people who wanted to pass an anti-trans bill. It's really fucked up. It's horrible. Because the reality of the situation for trans people is that they, without this fucked up law, have already been the victims of harassment and violence so much more often than anyone else in bathrooms just because of who they are. So we didn't need this law to make it any worse. Yeah, I have a major problem with your boyfriend, and I see why it's kind of a deal breaker. I think I would encourage him to do the research. I would, like you say, be kind of careful not to shame him for his sexual preferences, but I wouldn't be beyond mentioning that it seems quite ironic that the very porn he jerks off to, he's unwilling to accord those people respect. It really is quite ironic. So he needs to do some research on the internet and check this, because the whole fear campaign seems to be something that he has decided he was going to swallow. And you know what? If women are out there saying we don't need protection from men dressed as women in our bathrooms, then maybe he should fucking listen to us, right? Are there any women out there who have said, yes, I've been attacked by a man dressed as a woman in a restroom? No. I mean, there are women out there who have swallowed this fear story as well, and they think it's awesome that their guys are trying to protect them, and they are just as transphobic as the idiots who enacted this law. So there you have it. Yeah, you got me riled up here, you can tell, and I can tell that you have been riled up as well. So I wish you the best of luck in resolving this, and for your boyfriend, this music is for him. Okay, this next email is a comment on my Pegging 101 website, and it was in the article, Do Women Love Pegging? Can I ask if it changes the dynamics of a relationship? It's been requested. It's new to me. I'm concerned it might change our view of each other. Well, might it change your view of each other? Absolutely. Are you afraid it's going to change your view of each other in a bad way? That's what it sounds like to me. Probably the reason you are concerned about that is because, I'm guessing here, but usually my guesses around these things are fairly accurate, is that you see pegging as something that is somehow feminine, somehow potentially gay, and something like that. So you are concerned that if you peg your guy, you're never going to quite look at him the same way. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to put a link to Brené Brown's two TED Talks. One is on vulnerability and one is on shame. Vulnerability is something that is necessary for all people. Vulnerability is often conflated with weakness. And Brené Brown speaks to this. It's a huge mistake because it's not weak. And unfortunately, the hidden agenda, if you will, the expectation of all men in our society in this country is that they never, ever, ever exhibit any sign of weakness. Unfortunately, vulnerability is seen to be weak. I imagine it's not helped by the military, who sees vulnerability as weak, because in military operations, of course, if you're vulnerable, you're weak. Well, that doesn't apply here. In sexual relationships, in emotional relationships, vulnerability is a fine thing to have. Vulnerability can be a very, very good thing. Vulnerability is essential for pegging. So if you think that because he's going to be really vulnerable, that you may never look at him the same way, I can't predict that. I don't know if that's the case and that might happen. What I do know is far more often, I get letters from couples who have found a deeper level of intimacy. And this is what I meant by, will you look at each other differently? I think you will, because I think you will find a part of your partner that you hadn't realized before. You'll find a way of relating to your partner that you hadn't realized was a possibility before. You two will be able to have the adventure of experiencing sex from the opposite side of the bed. And that is an amazing thing. You will find out what he usually goes through when he fucks you, and how much effort it takes to fuck someone. He will find out what you go through when you're getting fucked, and how much receptiveness, how much vulnerability being penetrated takes. What that does is it increases your compassion and your understanding of each other, because you're playing each other's roles. It can feel awkward, it can feel strange, but it's really quite bonding, and it can deepen intimacy amazingly. So the vast majority of letters that I get on how people's relationships have been changed by this are overwhelmingly positive. One or two I can remember over the years have come from a man who has said that she just said, I will never look at you the same way again, because she kind of freaked out about it, or a woman who has said the same thing. But like I say, the vast majority of them have been overwhelmingly positive, a deepening of intimacy, an awesome thing. So it's a risk to take, absolutely. Will it change things? Probably. Will it be bad? Probably not. I encourage you to have a really open mind. I encourage you to listen to podcast number 112, because if you have fears about all of this, that is the podcast that's going to give you the accurate information, okay? There's fears, there's misconceptions, and what I do on that podcast is I give you accurate information so that you can choose whether this is something you want to do or not. There's lots of assumptions, and conversation needs to happen between you and your guy so that this can be entered into smoothly. If both of you are sort of entering into this with unspoken fears, that's not a good place to start exploring something new sexually. You need to talk about it, and ideally you need to talk about your fears too, because that way you're starting off really understanding each other and understanding where you're coming from, what the fears are, what might be triggers, stuff like that, as opposed to just sort of sucking it up and hiding it and hoping that you don't get triggered or hoping that things don't happen that freak you out. Really good to talk about things. Listen to podcast 112 and see what you think then. And you can even listen to it with your guy. Or listen to it first and then talk with him about it and have him listen to it later. I don't know, whatever works for you. But I really recommend you listen to that, because that'll give you a better concept of what pegging is all about and also why he's asking for it. Thank you very much for the comment, and let us know how it goes and if we can play the music for you, because what I do on my podcast is I play celebratory music for those couples who have tried pegging for the first time. Good luck to you. Okay, to close out this podcast, I'm going to read you two stories. One is from the wife and one is from the husband. And I love doing this because it's so cool to hear both sides of the story, okay? So we're going to start with hers. For as long as I can remember, I was interested in anal, receiving anal. In the very beginning, 10 to 15 years ago, we had tried it a few times and it hurt. Where were the talented educators back then? But about 6 years ago, for our anniversary, my husband asked me what I wanted for a present from the adult toy store. I said, an anal expander, not yet even familiar with the word butt plug. I did my research and I got a medium-sized butt plug, and my husband began fucking my ass, and we had a great time. There were time periods of a month or so at a time where I can recall not being able to orgasm without some sort of anal stimulation. I enjoy erotic stories, and one day came across one about pegging, and it sounded not only super hot, but I suddenly felt a bit selfish. If it felt so great for me, wouldn't it for him? And I knew without overthinking it that it wouldn't make him gay, because it would be with me, and he's always been so very straight. So we bought some budget equipment, and he enjoyed himself. But there were some messy complications, incorrectly using enemas, and the harness was so uncomfortable. So for most of the following 6 years or so, he would enjoy some solo play, and occasionally I would use a large cock in my hand to stimulate him, which he loved. Now, this is the good part, because this is where you come in, Ruby, and you educated my husband, who starts asking for equipment and for me to listen to your podcasts, which I do, but he doesn't send me to 112. He sends me to the top of the feed, like 143, maybe, and I'm a little confused and quickly overwhelmed, but I keep listening, and it's not long before you send me to 112, and things are awesome, except that the equipment isn't shipping, and we're waiting for the notification. Seems like forever. Probably not more than a week, in reality. Finally, he emails, and Tiffany almost immediately responds. She had a quality concern, but the shipping was the next day. She even upgraded to overnight shipping at no cost to us. We appreciated her attention to detail and had the best Friday night I can recall ever. I'll get back to that. Wednesday, while we waited for the equipment to arrive, we practiced. I asked him if he would help me with the movements, to show me how he wanted to be fucked. I pretended I was fucking him in all of the positions we wanted to try, and he loved it. Still talks about it. He fucked my ass and my pussy, and I swear he was almost exaggerating his hip movements, showing off his skill, which I had a newfound respect for. What a great time. So the equipment came, and so did Friday night, and we played for hours. I think we tried all of the positions, but I really liked him riding me when I was lying flat on my back the best. It felt so good the way he was grinding into me. I think he had an orgasm, but it was hard to define or understand. It was a great night. Since then, we've had tons of fun. We purchased the Fuse Tango on Black Friday, but I will say I'm glad we didn't start there. It's not a beginner's toy, and I couldn't go as long as I can with the Helio because I started getting sore, but it sure is a fun toy. Anyway, my husband and I both really want you to know how much we appreciate you and the work you do. You're awesome, and I really hope I get to meet you one day. Keep up the good work. Much love, me in Florida. Haha. Oh, that's so wonderful. Okay, this is his story. So, I was inspired tonight and finished our first pegging experience story. It gave me such delight to relive the night again. I am glad I waited a few weeks to finish it. So, here it is. I am a huge fan of your podcast and an avid listener. I listen to a lot of sex-based podcasts and podcasts on BDSM. I was listening to Sex Gets Real, episode 120, when Dawn Sarah mentioned Pegging Paradise. I started listening to you that same day and have been hooked ever since. My wife and I tried pegging a few years back, and let's just say it did not go well. We did everything wrong. So we put up the plastic harness and never did it again. I work where I can listen to headphones all day long, so after a couple of your podcasts, I got brave and sent my wife a text. I told her we should try pegging again. She replied, "We will talk tonight." So after we put our kid to bed, I put Pegging Paradise on her phone and asked her to listen to three of your podcasts. She agreed. The next night she came home and was like, "Let's order a harness." I was shocked that it was that easy. So we went to enticeme.com and purchased the Jacques and the dual density Helio 7.5-inch dildo. While we waited for the package to arrive, we decided to enjoy a night of anal play anyhow, so I told her to go clean up. She smiled and went into the bathroom. When she came out, she said, "Would you teach me how you want me to fuck your ass?" I had not thought about teaching her, but was excited to do so. Over the next hour or so, I would fuck her in a position, then she would try the same movements, dry humping my ass at same speed in the same position. We tried every position and had a blast. I think it gave her confidence, because when our package arrived, she was like, "Are you ready to get your ass fucked tonight?" I was like, "Yes, ma'am," and went to clean up. We started with me on top, riding her cock in the cowboy position. It felt so good this time, unlike the previous time we tried. Next, I got on my hands and knees. That did not feel as good as the cowboy did, so we went to the chair. I got on her cock and rode her for what felt like 20 minutes. I was feeling like I was about to explode, but was starting to cramp from the arms of the chair. We went to the bed with the intention of trying missionary, but she asked if I would like a spanking. I replied, "Cane, please." She reached under the bed, because everyone keeps canes under their bed, right? She started hitting me lightly. I said, "Harder," over and over. I could only hear the whistle of the cane whipping through the air and the smack of my ass. This is where everything gets a little fuzzy. I can't explain what happened to me, but it felt like the biggest orgasm of my life, but I didn't ejaculate. She whipped me through the orgasm until I stopped shaking. She asked me if I wanted her to fuck my ass some more. I couldn't talk. All I could do was shake my head no. She took off the harness and got into bed and cuddled me for about 15 minutes. Then she started stroking my cock until I was hard as a rock. We then had the most passionate sex we have ever had in our 20 years together. I think she came as soon as my cock went inside her dripping wet pussy. After we were all done, we both laid there exhausted with the biggest smiles on our faces. I had never allowed myself to feel so vulnerable and submissive to her. I did not think I could love her any more than I did, but I was wrong. We can't keep our hands off each other. Our sex life has exploded, and we communicate our fantasies and our desires. I want to thank you for your podcast number 112 and all of your insight into pegging. The rest of our lives are going to be so much fun. I can't wait to meet you and give you a big hug. I can't wait to meet you too as well. What a great story. And as always, like I said, I love hearing both sides of it. That sounds like you two have such good communication. Oh my gosh. I really admire that, and I'm glad that everything works so smoothly. I really enjoyed your description of how she said, "So show me how you want me to fuck you," because I do think that that gave her confidence, and I think that that's a great idea for all of you out there listening. In the beginning, like I mentioned, the learning curve is steep. So anything you can do to help us out is really nice. Remember when I interviewed Tiffany and how the guy that she was with showed her some tips. "Hey, if you hold my hips like this and you move your body like that, it makes it easier." These are all welcome things for women brand new to fucking, because we don't know how to do this, and you guys have been fucking us for a long time. So yes, that sounds awesome, and I can see why it was so much fun. It's kind of like, see if you can do this movement. So how fun for you to kind of show her, hey, this is how you do it, and show off your expertise, if you will, because she was there wanting to learn. So one thing about the chair has to have no arms, dude. 20 minutes is a long time to be in a position on a chair like that when it's got arms, and your legs must have been flopped over the side, I suppose. But the very best way to do the chairman is a chair with no arms. In fact, that's what I called that position for a long time, was the chair with no arms. And then finally, the chairman was suggested by one of my readers, and I kind of liked that a little bit better. But yes, definitely much easier if the chair does not have arms. So, wow, you guys had such a great time. I am proud of you for coming back to it, for being exploratory, for communicating, for having fun, being open-minded. Yay! Thank you so much for writing in those stories. I'm sure my listeners are going to love them. So we are good to go. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. I also offer pegging101.com, where you can find informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available for a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. And if you order any toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. You can send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too strange, or too silly. Many listeners are going to learn along with you. So don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.